Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding. Though we lack the very love you show in the sun, Lord, we walk to the end of thy ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord.
Good afternoon. It's Sunday afternoon. This is Brenda K. Sanders, your program host. Welcome to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. Well, I'm back. I missed last week, but I'm glad to be back this Sunday. It just feels right. It feels normal to be back here on the program today and broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio. Today is one of those days where I prepared a message for this broadcast, but when I think about the message, it is kind of different than what I normally do here on the broadcast. Maybe you won't be able to tell, but I certainly will be able to tell. I'm gonna tell you why I won't be able to tell, because it's kind of one of those messages where you speak from your heart. And I have scripture. My goodness, did I take the time to write down so many scriptures today because I wanted to really get those scriptures ingrained in my spirit, and I thought by writing them down, I could more easily express to you what I believe the Lord is trying to say through this broadcast. But we'll see what happens. But anyway, as I always say with this broadcast, this is a motivational outreach program. My desire with this broadcast is to encourage someone today. I often speak of my days, and they're not over, okay? But those days when we have those dark challenges, how do we get through them? How do we move through them? Because we definitely should be moving when we have dark challenges. We should not be standing still unless God tells you to stand still. I have always learned, and it's been my experience, that in dark challenges, we should be moving. What should we be moving to do? We should be moving to look for God in the dark challenge. And moving, as I look at it and I think about it right now, it must be drawn from motivational. I'm sure it is. I'm sure if I did a word study, it would be. So to be motivated is to move around, to look for God. The only way you're going to see God is to move around. Are you going to pray? You're going to get up and pray. You're going to read your Bible. You might turn on the radio. You might talk to someone. You might hear a messenger of God, a pastor, speak a word. You know, these days in the modern times of the internet, you might turn on Periscope or Meerkat or something like that and hear someone express the word of the Lord. In fact, let me tell you something. Recently, in recent days, that has been the way that God has ministered to me. As someone that does not even know me, doesn't know my situation, has ministered to my very, very soul and my very situation. And so, you know, God is looking to uplift us when we go through the dark challenges. And I believe, and you say, well, is she obsessed with the dark things of God? No. What I am is, I believe in my spiritual walk that those have been the darkest days in my spiritual walk with God. And learning what to do and what to say in those times will keep you. It will preserve you until you can see God clearer. And then you have no doubt God is there with you in that dark place. And see, that is where my ministry has evolved from my own survival of those very dark challenges. And they seem like they don't go away. You know, once you think you've made it through one, another one pops up. And I'm saying, wow, thought that was over with. So those challenges do come. They will come. And they are to come. That's the bad news of it. The good news is that you will survive them, providing you really don't resist God's way of dealing with those challenges. I'm going to my theme scripture for the program. It's 1 Corinthians 13:12. Oh, I love so much to be back here quoting this scripture. It is 1 Corinthians 13:12, as I said, the Amplified Bible. And it says, for now, in this time of imperfection. Let me tell you, there is a time of imperfection in your life. And you know, it might be a time when you really deliberately don't know God and you don't know what's going on. You may be out there doing your own thing. But there is a time of imperfection. Why? Because I know God just said it right here. Or it may be a time when you're doing what God says, you're obeying God, you're seeking out God, and yet you're making mistakes. You're making mistakes because, like me, I'm a real stickler about what God is saying to me. I don't like to move. I've told God, you know, look, make this plain. This is the way I talk to the Lord, too. I said, make this plain, please. You know, if you want me to do the right thing, make this plain to me. And that's a time of imperfection for me. That time of imperfection is when you cannot see what God is saying. You cannot see what he's doing.
And so there's a time of imperfection. And it's the time where you may be subject to make mistakes. He says, but we see in a mirror dimly. That's that time of imperfection where you're seeking out God, groping in that darkness, in the dark glass, which is in the King James translation, a blurred riddle, a riddle, an enigma. When you're in that time of searching out God's will, that is the most difficult time for me. I think it's the most difficult time for a lot of people because you don't see God and you can't quite put your hand on what God is saying to you. It says, but then when the time of perfection comes, thank God for the time of perfection, when God does make himself clear to you, makes his will clear to you, and you will know that God is God in that time. He says, when the time of perfection comes, we will see reality. And I always say it. Do I sound like a broken record when I say it? Because I really intend to. I really intend to. I want to sound like a broken record because when we see reality, that is the truth of the situation. From God's perspective now, I don't want to hear, God can use anyone. But whatever it is, whatever that truth is, that reality, it will come to you and God will reveal it to you face to face. And when I say you, I'm talking to me first. And the last part of that scripture in the Amplified translation says, now I know in part, just in fragments, but then I will know fully, just as I've been fully known by God. And so I believe when we're in that facet of our faith, when we're groping for the truth, you're making mistakes, and you make a mistake, well, great goodness, I thought God was saying this, and he's not saying that. That's not true. That's when we should be humble, and when I believe God should have mercy on us and be very merciful toward us because we're searching. We're searching God out. We're seeking God out. And sometimes, like I said, with all these riddles and enigmas, you think I'm playing. I've been through some of them. Then you come to know what God's perfect will is for your life. And you know, in exchange of that, the opposite of that is this. I don't criticize those who are also in that same vein, seeking out the will of God. You may make mistakes, but that's not the time to criticize or condemn the believer in that time, because those times will come. He says, for now, in this time, so that we know those times are going to exist. And so we should be careful to forgive and have mercy when someone is in that time. That dark glass is so dark, you can't see. But God, this is what I want to say. God, after you've been in that place for so long, God is going to lead you like he does a blind man. Did I talk about this before? I know I did. He'll lead you like a blind man down the street, which you will start to sense him. And you will start to sense him more clearer. And I want to talk about a little bit of that today, about how God will cause you to sense him more and more and more in that time of darkness. But nevertheless, he's promised that you will survive it and come through it. Amen. What I want to talk about today is my title for this broadcast is Travail in Darkness. Let me tell you how I got this title. All week long, I have been hearing the word travail, travail, travail. And I'm thinking, well, travail is prayer. And I know that my theme for the program is darkness, and that's because what I've already shared with you, travail in the darkness, that we should be praying. And what I thought, let me tell you this, this is what I thought I would be saying, that you should be praying when there's darkness. You should be praying and seeking out God in this time of darkness. And I hadn't even studied yet to really confirm what that word meant to me. I'm walking around all week. All I hear is travail, okay? I come into the living room, travail. I'm playing some music, travail, travail. I'm thinking, should I be praying? And those things, this word has come up in my spirit all week.
So I said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to entitle my broadcast Travail in the Darkness. That is the title of the episode on Sunday. And I began to search it out a little bit yesterday, but more today. And my goodness, did I get quite a surprise. I was, in fact, quite overwhelmed with the information that I received about the Travail in Darkness, or Travail in Darkness. I thought, well, you know, I should have said Travailing in Darkness. And let me tell you about it. As I began to search out the meaning of travail, actually I stumbled upon something that I had been looking for in the Word, and I kind of gave up basically because I had the wrong word that I was looking for, but I knew what I was looking for, but I could not find it because I had the wrong word. But I stumbled upon something called Jacob's Trouble. And it goes into, took me to Revelation, actually a place where I've been studying from, Revelation chapter 12. But I'm going to tell you something. God has a place with this word travail, and what he has revealed to me, some of this is revelation that the Lord has given me, is that there are types and shadows of prophetic events that will take place on the earth, a type of and a shadow of. That means it's not the actual event itself, but it is a type of event. It is a kind of a mimicking of that event. And I know because I have experienced and I'm experiencing now sort of that kind of type and shadow travail season and the travail season he's given me, at least me. It's kind of Jacob's trouble. And so let me tell you, when you're going through that travail season, it will mimic the real thing, but it's not the real thing. In fact, some of the revelations that I have received in the season that I'm in now is they're tight. And I'm going to give you one example, and then I'm going, well, I'll tell you what, because there's so much to talk about. It is overwhelming, the scripture. But I'm just going to read a couple of the scriptures because I really just want to talk about it. I don't want to overwhelm you with all of it. It was quite a bit, and let me tell you, I'm currently writing my book, my first book, and it looks like I'm going to be writing another one. The Option of Determination is one book I'm writing right now. And as I came upon this word of travail and Jacob's trouble and so forth, I said, you know, God, I'm going to have to really write another book here because there's so much revelation and experience that I have gone through that to tell the story, I would have to probably start another book. And I know what it's going to be called. It's going to be called Seeing Clearly in the Dark. Seeing Clearly in the Dark, because that is what the time of travail, Jacob's trouble, is going to be. It's going to be dark. But it's going to end up good, okay? It's going to end up good. So I say this is still a motivational theme for this program, Seeing Clearly. And so we experience darkness now. There are different levels of darkness. That dark glass can be real dark. I mean, if you're talking about wine in the glass, you can have some, let's see. I think rosé is that kind of pink wine. Now, forgive me if I get it wrong here because I don't drink wine that often. I was actually drinking wine two or three times a week pursuant to a doctor's advice based on a medical condition that I had. And it was Passover wine, and build the blood. So I don't know all the wines, but I know there's a dark red wine. You can't see through that wine. And then there's a rosé, a lighter colored wine. And, of course, there's the white wines, you know. And I may not learn their names by next week, but let me tell you something. Our ability to see God and the things of God may change in that glass.
It may be where it's pitch black or pitch red wine, dark red wine, and you're trying to see through that dark glass. It may be the rosé. You can see a little better, where it talks about, you know, like seeing through rose-colored glasses. Or it might be the white wine. But at any given time, that level of darkness can increase. And that's what the God has shown me, that, yeah, there's a level of darkness, and you've been talking about it all along and all the time. But there's a time of Jacob's trouble, and travail will lead into it, where it's absolutely pitch black. And I have put in my tag some I'm going to say characteristics of the time of travail, because I could actually tell you that I've been through some of it. And it's the type. It's not the real thing. It's the mimicking of it. So that I believe God wants to prepare his ministers, his pastors, his, you know, priests, maybe whatever the calling is, apostles, the prophets, for a time when then they will administer the word to others. Because as I was doing this broadcast, God said, well, this word, this experience has only gone to you. You think it's everybody out there. He said, but it's gone to you personally. I said, oh, well, it's just been me. It feels like it's just been me too. But as you explain it, you prepare others for those shadows and types of travail in the time of Jacob's trouble, because there are things you can do to prepare for it. Now, I'm going to tell you this, that, and I don't want to share everything because I want to put it in my book, Seeing Clearly in the Dark, but God will warn you about the time of travail. The time of travail. I mean, we go through our very, you know, everyday things. Okay, I have a flat tire. You know, I got to the store and forgot my checkbook, or a check bounced, or something. You know, I have a cold. In the time of Jacob's trouble, it is much more severe, and it will feel like a constant agony. So let's say you have a time when you have a flat tire. Okay, you're on your way to work and you're in a hurry, you're late, and you have a flat tire. Well, it causes a momentary upheaval in your emotion, and momentarily. But in the time of trouble, Jacob's trouble, this agony that you experience will be like an impression of a dark cloud pressing down on your environment. It will be constant, it will be continual, and it will feel like the pressure that it is. It is much more exaggerated than your normal faith walk type of situation. And so it's hard to explain it, but let me give you a scripture about it. And like I said, I want to give you a general detail about it. It is the type of. It's not the real thing. And how do I know that? Because I had to pray and hear God, and he showed me certain things. And it's probably not only me at this time. There's several apostles, prophets, ministers, pastors who have the word evangelist in their mouth. But I'm talking about what God has shown me. First of all, he gave me Matthew 24:6-8, and it says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened or troubled, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. See, you can go through a time of trouble that you think is the end. You really can. For me, it's a day that will come suddenly. Let me tell you, for me, God spoke to me, I'd say about 3 or 4 years ago. I'm going to say, 16. Well, I'll say 2 years ago, I had a dream. And this is one of many dreams. Because one thing I want to say, and it's in my tag, that in the time of travail, this extended time of travail, God will begin to give you many visions, many prophecies, many dreams that will help you through the time of travail.
But they are warning dreams in before the travail actually comes. And so I guess I want to save it for my book, but I want to kind of talk about it. But let me tell you this. God will warn you before the time of travail comes. Probably you, someone like me, who has actually been through the warning stages and then go through the travail times. The warning stages for me, maybe because the situation, I didn't realize that it was a warning. But then I did feel eventually that it was a warning. But by that time, the time of travail is upon you. And so you just take it for what it was and say, okay, that's what God was trying to tell me. The time of travail is intensified darkness. And I don't know if I have that in the text. But there are things in this time of travail. God will prepare you for the time of travail. Now, there is an ultimate time of travail. That is what he has spoken of here in Matthew 24:6-8. Let me say it again. It says, and you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened or troubled, for this must take place. But the end is not yet, for nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be a famine and earthquakes in place. I think that's right. All this is but the beginning, the early pains of the birth pangs. And it will be something that God will warn his people about. It really will be warnings. What you got to do, and what we should be able to do, is understand and interpret those signs. Now, who wants to talk about the time of travail, Jacob Strobel? I didn't want to talk about it. Let me tell you. I'm sitting around somewhere planning a nice vacation, wanting to be on the beach somewhere. Here I am. God is speaking to me about the time of travail. And so it will be a time that will come upon you suddenly, come upon us, or maybe just me, like God told me at the beginning of this broadcast. But it will be, like I said, a time of preparation. But it is a time, something that will appear to be sudden, if you're not prepared for the time of Jacob's trouble. What else I want to say about it? Let's see. So like I said, it's a type of travail. Hear what God is saying in Matthew 24:6-8. He's saying clearly, and I know that I've spoken certain things out, like on Facebook, about the Antichrist and different things in Revelation chapter 12, but I'm sure that he's speaking to me today to say that the time is not yet. It's not yet. It's still a little bit off, but it felt like that. And what I showed you was a type of it. And it is a time of training, a time of giving God time to show you what he plans to do in the future. But we must and should remember that the time is going to be for our good. A sign of travail, one thing that happens with travail, it brings a person closer to God, or reunites people with Jesus. Because originally it's going to be to bring Judah and Israel back to the saints of God. But it's also for us, the Gentiles. And just as a motivational element, I want to go through these texts quickly because my time is up. And I'll read my text. It says, God has allowed us time, which is only a time of travail, a type of travail. So it's not the real end. It is a type. It's kind of like a training camp for travail. And I say a type of travail will only mimic the travail of the last day. That's true. Travail is usually not expected or specifically predictable. And so God may give you a shadow, a little warning of it, but it can come upon you suddenly and without warning. But you can still be prepared for that time. Travail comes to bring us closer to Jesus. And travail will cause one to experience deep agony, which will cause one to long for deliverance by the Lord. Although travail can come suddenly, God does not provide warning of travail
all of the travail times to come.
Well, he does. He does. I changed that. Yes, he does. But you may not understand the warnings when they come to you. You may not understand it because I did not. And I can think of warnings maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that were coming to me, that were being given to me. However, I didn't know it. But what we have to learn to do, and I think those in fivefold ministry, God will begin to train so that they can tell the people what the warnings are for the ultimate time of travail. And another one of my tags, I say, priorities are exemplified in the time of travail. Let me tell you, those things that there's a lot that you let go of in travail. There's a lot that you hang on to in travail. I remember God telling me 3 or 4 years ago that, you know, you're going to begin to appreciate the little things in life. I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about, God? What do you mean the little things? You will begin to appreciate little things. And I'm going to just give you a snippet because, like I said, I want to save it for my book. But things we take for granted, like our sleep environment. There's one thing, comforting things that we don't pay attention to, like our lighting and things like that. You say, how could that be? How could that be, Minister Sanders? How could that be? Well, I have some interesting things to share with you, how your perspective, in other words, your perspectives change in the time of travail. And I'm going to explain it later. And then the last tag I have is travail ushers in revelation, supernatural dreams, and vision. It does. Because in the time of travail, when it's really dark, God will start to speak with visions and dreams and prophecies, and just increase your knowledge so that you will know where God is leading you in the dark. And let me tell you this, relationships will be restored in travail because it's like holding hands, you know, in a time of storm or something like that. Relationships and families will be restored or draw closer in the travail time. And I will explain that later. But all of these things have been characteristics that I personally experienced in this type of travail season. So that's what I want to say. It doesn't make sense. That's pretty much kind of like a preparation for what I want to say about Jacob's trouble and the time of travail as a whole. Is that a fun subject? I'd rather be maybe talking about something else, like how to believe God for blessings or something like that. But I think this is a time when God wants to prepare his people and strengthen his people so that when the time of travail does come, that his people will be sustained and preserved and survive the time of travail. And that starts out here in Matthew 24:6-8. Well, I've gone over, and I'd just like to thank you for listening to the program. Thank you once again for listening and tuning into the broadcast. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/Brenda K. Sanders. If you wish to listen to this episode again, as well as any other episode on the show page there. And you may email me at seeingclearlyinthedark@gmail.com if you have a question, a comment, a prayer request. And I will be certainly attentive to return your email and to pray for you. I did say that I was going to go on the air with questions and answers for the broadcast. I have decided not to do that. I have a very intense subject here that I'd like to discuss. I'm still trying to work that out, how I want to do that. Because this is only a 30-minute broadcast, perhaps I will probably have to use the last 10 minutes of the broadcast to take callers. And so I'm still contemplating that. Please forgive me because I have not worked all of that out yet. And I did not want to truncate the teaching on this subject. But I will get to it, and hopefully I'll have it worked out by next week. Well, thanks again for listening to the broadcast. Have a very, very blessed week, and talk to you next time.
Yeah. A revelation.